Yeah, this morning when I was praying, I seen something that God showed. It was like there was a beach, and then suddenly the ocean decided that it was coming towards us. It not the complete thing. It suddenly, like, you know, I don't even know if this is the whole ocean, this portion suddenly started marching towards us. And the people were not yet there. One thing you have to understand is, so God's already on the move. It's like he's not got to the people yet, but he's already on the move. So that's God's way of showing like that. And so and suddenly, even like in worship, there was a moment where suddenly like I could just feel the drops of oil on my hand, like raindrops just start coming, and then suddenly it just took off. Because that's how God basically is. He is more excited about us than we are excited about him. I'm sorry, it is the truth. You know, because when it, you know this, okay, don't be angry with me if I say this, okay? The same song, right, what we were singing. I sought the Lord and he answers. A lot of people have a lot of prayer requests, and so this is apt for that, perfect for that. But when Alan was praying, he was praying about our heart, our flesh dying. The same song is apt for that too. When was the last time you prayed as Lord, kill my flesh? Just letting you know, don't hate me for that. But that's the same prayer. You can pray and say, Lord, kill my flesh. You know, things that basically, because we want God to do stuff for us. But we don't want to become like him. That's where the challenge is. We want to hold on to our own ways. We don't want to become like him. And so it's like, you know, in this whole, like, what, 4 weeks or 3 weeks of how people have been preaching and, you know, about giving your testimony, reaching out to people, praying for the sick, yeah. All these things come back to this one thing is who Jesus is to you, right? So it's funny, there was an altar call being given, and suddenly this guy starts reading this chapter, and we'll read it. And suddenly I was like, this is it. So go to 1 John verse 1. 1 John 1 verse 1. We saw him with our own eyes. We gazed upon him and heard him speak. Our hands actually touched him. The one who was from the beginning, the living expression of God. Okay, so you got to understand this. This is John writing this story, and he's talking about his experience with, or the apostles and his experience with God. And he's saying, we saw him. Yeah, I'm pretty much sure if they lived in the same city or something, they saw Jesus before. But then they looked at him. And then when he started preaching in that boat and people were gathering, they gazed upon him saying, what is he doing? You see, so there's something about it. And then they heard what his message was. And then when they started following him, they started breaking bread with him, they actually touched him. The bread of life, they touched him. You see, my life, I can relate to this. You see, because I grew up Catholic, right? And I love Jesus and all. And it just was one of those things. I got saved, and technically I got saved the first time in 1995, the summer of 95. There was an evangelist in Kuwait who was preaching, and it was not even like, I think I went to the School of the Spirit before his evangelistic campaign. And so everything about the Holy Spirit was something that just drew me in. And so when that night meetings came on, I was ready. I was like, yeah. But I never walked up, you know. They say, like, come up to the altar or whatever. I just was, and it was an open air thing. So I was by the baptism pool. I hid behind it. And I literally was like, okay, God, I'm changing my life, right? But I was only on a visit to Kuwait at that time. I was only there for, what, 1 month maybe or something. I was visiting my mom and all. And I went back to my Bombay, and that's where I went to college. But I knew that the Word of God was very powerful. You see, so I saw him in the Word and knowing that the Word was so powerful, like literally for our exams, I told my friends Philippians 4:13. Like, this is what we're going to believe in. This is what we're... Because we've seen the power of God move with that. Like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it didn't matter whether you're Hindu, you're Muslim, whether you believe, didn't believe. This was our, like, you know, what was the G.I. Joe one? Knowing is half the battle won. So for our half-term semester, we basically, that was our slogan. Knowing is half the battle won. So as long as we knew our chapters where they were, we were like, okay, we are in good stead right now, like, you know, and so that. But initially, that's when I first saw him. When I saw him, it was just like one of those things where I knew that the Word had power, but I never had the, like, you got to understand, I got saved, but we were still Catholic. I came back, walked back to my same lifestyle. And that's why it's kind of very funny. It's like people get saved, and then you go and do your own thing. You don't want to be around in church. You don't want to come be around. And you say, nah, that's okay. When I want God, I'll show up. But then you regress, and you go back to your old lifestyle. And then you wonder why you're haunted, and you're like, you know, dealing with the same things again. Because all you want is, hey, just let me, when I want, I will basically, like, you know, let me do me. That's how we talk, right? It's like, and so that, and I walked back, and I was like wild. You got to understand that that side of my life was like totally different. And then I graduated, and I went to Kuwait. And this is 97. So 97, the person who was supposed to give me the visa basically wouldn't release me. Because I was going to work for the government of Kuwait, for their research institute, and he wouldn't release me. And I was literally an illegal in Kuwait at that point, because my visa, I think, had expired or whatever. And so the king of Kuwait had released an amnesty. So if you managed to make it to the airport, you were free to go, but there were roadblocks everywhere. And they had these guns and all. There was one instance where I was with my mom, myself, and another two guys. I was in the back, and they came and they asked you for your civil ID. There's an ID everybody gets. And they gave that. I just sat, and I didn't have anything to give. And I'm, like, preparing to run. And my mom's like, sit. If you run, they're going to shoot you. Like, it was that, this thing. But through that, God just made me invisible in that moment. So then I had more confidence. So then I would go for the night meetings. I would go for different meetings. Like how Dan was saying, he went to mom and I was not, you know, that way. But I went to literally every congregation that was having a speaker come in. I went to every meeting over there. I went to listen to the Word of God because I wanted more of him. I you know, you naturally know when you're like, you know, feel that you're at a deficit. Like, you basically saying, I gotta go. Like, and so when I got saved that time, my brother and me counted how many chapters were in the Bible. I think it's 1189 or 1200 chapters in the Bible. So we said, oh, if we read 40 chapters a day for the next 30 days, we can finish the Bible. So we started with that. 30 was our norm. We kind of said 30. We said we'll do it 30 chapters a day. I had nothing to do. I was illegal. I was sitting at home. Come on. It's like, you know, the other day, I think I asked somebody right on the group chat. I said, hey, when the snow comes, how many of y'all want to binge read the Bible? Really? But that's how I started. It was like 30 chapters a day was the minimum. And then if we did more or so. So I think within 30 or 40 days, I'd read cover to cover the entire Bible. And this is not to basically brag or something. This was how much he was affecting my life. That's how much I wanted him. Nowadays, it's like, you know, the coffee cup and the Bible we see and all. And that's how much he's affecting you. Your coffee is cold. And like, you know, you wonder how much you're reading of that. And it's a very open thing because this whole thing is an experience of where we first met him. You see? What happens is that we basically say, that's fine, we know Jesus. And then when we become really cool, like, you know, oh, I know the Word, I know everything. But really, Have you really met him this way? That you gazed upon him. Gazed upon him is like this verse, I'm just looking at it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm just closed in worship, and that's all I know. And then just tears just streaming down my eyes. It could be any song. It could be, but you, okay. If you all think worship is like, you know, okay, oh, it didn't move me today, and all, our worship was with the tambourine. Okay? In today's American church, if you basically talk about tambourine, that's like the evil. Like, you know, if you bring a tambourine here and Julia's playing over there, ooh, we should do that one day. Like, you see Julia throw stuff at us and like, you know, like, yeah. But that's how it is. So the tambourine, and it didn't matter. And we were just clapping. You know, I don't even know how to do it. Let's do it. Like, we would clap like that. So there are some who clap right, some who don't. You deal with it and you just worship God anyways. Because that's who we were loving. It didn't matter whether we were polished. It didn't matter whether my hallelujah looked perfect or, you know, it didn't matter. It was just raw, and this was who we were. We were all just getting saved at that time, and we just had this very open thing. But gazing upon him, when you start playing the song Hallelujah, just in that moment, like suddenly it just felt like heaven opened. And in just that moment, you would see him. See, our understanding of it is like, well, give me the next best song. Sometimes the simplicity of who Jesus is just the same. But we have left him behind. And we have gone on to what's the next best thing. And we just want the next best thing. And then they said they heard him speak. The first time I heard God's voice was during this time where I'm like, you know, literally I just wanted to walk around the guy who was, you know, cheating us and seven times and curse him and walk away, dust the feet off. And my dad's like, what the heck are you doing? Like, you're crazy? Like, come on. Like, you know, you don't do that and all. And so, but I because I read it in the Bible, I said, okay, we're going to play with this game, we're going to play with fire. Then, okay, we'll give you that, right? But somehow God, he just took me away. And in the middle of the night, I heard the voice of my dad, and it said, he said, grace and sabbath. And I went to their room and I knocked the door and said, you called me? Like, you know, because he's taking my mom's name. My mom's name is Grace. And he said, sabbath, Grace. And I was like, don't know. Okay. He said, no. I went back to sleep. Heard it a second time, sabbath, Grace. Walked back again. He said, no. Went back to the couch and knelt down. I said, okay, God. In the Bible, Samuel basically. Because now this, you got to understand this. I had read the whole Bible. Nothing was like, you know, odd to me or different. I said, yeah, you spoke to Samuel three times over there. Two times is good enough for me. Yeah, you know, I was like, sabbath, Grace. So for the rest of the days, what I needed was the grace of the Lord. But he spoke to me. My father spoke to me. You see, we cannot go on secondary kind of saying, oh, God spoke to Dan, so, you know, that's good. That's good enough for me. It's like, you know, how the people of Israel were like, yeah, you speak to Moses and whatever he tells us, we will do. That's why they stood by their tents. They didn't even go to the tent of the meeting where the Lord was available. They didn't want to really spend time with him. You see, they wanted a religion. They wanted a lie. You tell me, I'll do it, and then I feel that, oh, I'm good. But they didn't want to spend the time with him. They didn't want to know him. This is where Christianity is very different. You get a choice to know him. You can talk about him, like, fine, okay. You can do a podcast also. And there's still an emptiness in the words that they speak. You can write the best worship song, which has a cool chords that everybody's jumping in on, and still there's no Jesus in that. It's like you're asking for the real true thing. And I'll give you an understanding why I'm telling you this. Because for you to carry the gospel and to share the gospel with someone, it has to be ringed through with you first.
If you're empty, what are you giving them? Empty? Just a ba 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 ba. That's all you're giving them. You're just giving them words, words which will die. But then when you have Him, who's the life giver, you have the words of life. You're able to give them life. You see, that's what changes the way that you think about, like, hey, how am I going to reach the people? You see? And then you actually touched Him. God, I can talk about this for myself. There are days where I'm like, you know, tired, like how today we were saying, right, tired. And suddenly the presence of God just comes. And then I could have slept maybe 2 hours or 3 hours. But just spending time with Him, I don't get tired. I have more energy because the King of the universe decides to be in me. He actually touched me. I thought that I touched His heart by singing the best worship songs or praying or whatever, but really He touched me. So now this is for you. We've seen the apostles. This is my life. Now where is He in your life? Where did you see Him first? Like, think of it. There is no answer or anything I'm looking for. I'm just trying to get you to a place where you know Him. Did you gaze upon Him today? Did it feel like the first time you gazed upon Him? What were the color of His eyes? Did you see the fire in His eyes? Or did you just have your list? What did He tell you today? Did it sound like the first time He spoke to you? Are you still wanting to hear Him? Jesus never fails. So Lord, we ask You, God, just now, speak to us. Don't worry about your neighbor. Speak to us. Is He going to fail you? Is that what He's saying? Is that your flesh jumping up to tell you that? The Word says He will never fail. Now let Him minister to you. He's more excited to come and minister to you. Just let Him come. Every eye right now. Fresh eye self. Even in the natural. Healing. For every eye. Healing for every eye. Just release it, Lord. That we may see You. We want to see You in Your glory. Oh, we just love You, Jesus. Can I tell you something? He was talking about Moses, right? Moses met Jesus, Jesus or God the first time in the burning bush. That would be what, Exodus 3? That's when he met Him in the burning bush. Now, your life can just have this one kind of thing of a meeting with the Lord, and you can live that for the rest of your life. But through passionate lovers of God, want to go closer, want to go closer. The next big thing was a whole Mount Sinai. That's where God met them. I think it's 19, Exodus 19, I think. I don't think I have it in my notes, but I think it's Exodus 19, where he comes with flashes of lightning. Yeah, 19, 16 to 19, where he comes and visits them. He says, I'm going to come visit you. Sanctify yourself, consecrate yourself, sanctify yourself. And on the third day, I will basically come. And so it happened on the third day when it was morning that there were thunders and flashes of lightning and a thick cloud was on the mountain and a very loud blast was sounded on the ram's horn so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Go to the next. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. Sometimes this is also the funny thing. We want somebody else to bring us to God. You see? Because you want somebody who has an experience with God and then bring you to God. And then they stood and presented themselves at the foot of the mountain. Verse 18, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. 19, and it happened as the blast. Okay, God, okay. That's fine. Sorry, I got bored of reading the word. I'm not there. But because it's like the essence of that was, first, Moses met him in the burning bush. It was a little bush. Take off your shoes. Fine. Now this whole mountain is shaking and quaking. Your relationship has to develop like that. Then you can come to Exodus 33 and say, show me your glory. You see the problem? We basically want that burning bush experience and bypass all this time spent in the tent of meeting and everything. And we want to jump straight. Show me your glory, Lord. Not going to happen. Sorry. And God will be like, you're going to die. And he told Moses that. He's like, hey, just because I've developed a relationship with you, I know why you want me. Not for what I can offer you, but for genuinely seeking my heart. Now I would hide you with my hands. If you have walked away from that part of your communion with God, where you have not grown, you have not developed that fire and be wanting to be with his presence, this is an invitation to you. You can disregard it, that's fine. And you can be happy with that burning bush experience and live the rest of your life, but you have missed out possibly on meeting with him, communing with him, seeing miracle signs and wonders. And that's not what his will was for your life. Like for you, healing, right? Like when you said my shoulder, I was like, yeah, my shoulder was hurting. I was like, I need that. Like, you know? But it's like, I want it. It's for my life. Not only just for you, right? So in that way, it's like an experience with God. Why I basically am opening it up to you is it's in the scripture. You have to want it. If you basically say, this is how I do 20 push-ups every day, I do 20 pull-ups every day, I've done it 5 o'clock in the morning from the beginning that I have known Jesus, and I read my Bible, and I drink my coffee, and I do this. Sure, but there must be something more. There has to be something more. You know, when Dan said this is like, about like he used to go to different this thing, I used to go to every conference. Why? Because I just wanted more. There's an anointing that sometimes is in a place which you don't know. And it's just like, hey, I receive of that. But then when we become slick and we become savvy about God, and we're like, no, we're good. We're good. We just stay where we are. We'll watch podcast or we'll listen to podcast and we watch it online. But there's something about getting into the room where the presence of God is. That's why, you know, the what do you say, during COVID when the church is basically with this thing, fine. It was okay that. But the true tangible presence of God is when you are in this room. Yes, it can minister to people on radio, on the airwaves, everything. But there's just something about being in the room where the presence of God is like the tent of meeting. That, Lord, I just gave up everything this morning to just be with you. This is my desire. You think he would turn it down? Do you think he would ever fail? You see, now this is the heart that now when your heart burns, that you walk to a person and you say, hey man, Jesus loves you. You know, Anish, myself, and I think it was Aiden, right? We were talking about it like a couple of weeks ago when Kirk preached, and it was like, yeah, man, if you just go up to somebody and say, hey, man, Jesus loves you, that sounds like, you know, very corny and very like, you know, but now you carry this very burning heart and say, hey, man, Jesus loves you. Now, you don't understand that the words that you carry are life, but it is born out of the spirit of fire that you're just releasing it and say, hey, Jesus loves you. Now, that is like throwing gasoline upon them. And they're going, you may just have scattered the seed, but you basically are now inviting them into that presence. And if they even turn to say thank you or something, you can walk up to them. You have open access. You see, this is how your way you look at things first has to be an internal perspective of like, you know, am I carrying the fullness of God? Am I living this? Because the world outside knows very well when you're fake. Very well. You talk Jesus and you don't walk it, they'll basically reject the gospel. And they don't even have to know you more than 10 minutes. That's how difficult it is like right now, because there's people talking and then they're talking. And then like when the Spirit of God gets involved, the heart of man, only he is able to open. You see, so we have to know that kind of thing. So the reason I'm telling you this is like, verse 2, the life giver was made visible and we have seen him. We testify to this truth. We testify to this truth that you have seen him. Not somebody that my grandmother was saved and my grandmother knew Jesus and so now I am a Catholic or I am a Christian. They had a lifestyle with God, but I just followed it. And I was saying, no, you have to see him. You have to testify of what you have seen, that your eyes may see and know him. Right? This is what you're going to talk about. But if you didn't spend time looking at him, what are you going to say? What gospel are you going to bring? The gospel of podcast? Yeah. It's like second and third, and it doesn't even have any trace of life on it. But when you, because you have dwelled in his presence and carried life, say, hey, man, Jesus loves you. That very Jesus goes out with like a poof. That will come. I walked one time, I won't say who, but with a bunch of people. And this is during COVID, right? And so we were all at a meeting, and these guys were like some of the top evangelists you could think about. And just walking, they would go like, hey, man, like very cool, like, you know. They were drinking their coffee, whatever. Hey, man, Jesus loves you. And they would walk. And then suddenly, if one person turned, they would basically say, hey, can we pray for you now? They didn't have a word of knowledge, like how Dan was saying. They didn't have anything, but they just knew that the minute the person reacted and had this, is like, hey, can we pray for you? And do you know Jesus? And like that, and then you just open the whole door. So, but this is where we basically are, I believe, okay? Without the carrying the fullness of God, what you're basically going to take to them is a counterfeit. You don't know Jesus. You won't basically take to them. You can take them pages. You can carry my Bible and give it to them. You can sign and autograph it. The Bible I was given, I never opened it. White ants were eating it until I opened it and I read Philippians 4:13. And that changed my life. The Word of God is able to do that. We testify to this truth. The eternal life giver lived face to face with the Father and has now dawned upon us. There is a fresh new dawn coming upon us of living in his presence. Face to face. He doesn't want to restrict anything from you. He wants to be one with you. He wants to be face to face with you. He doesn't want even a breath, like, you know, or any kind of barrier within you. And it's always difficult because it's like, you're like, oh, I lived my life all this while. It's like, do you want to continue living the next part of your life the same way? Because, you know, it's like, okay, if I don't read the same... Oh, I said 40 chapters, 30 chapters. Would you read even a chapter? Like the most of the church is basically lacking because they don't even go for that. We have the Bible plan and all, and sometimes some people are only ticking it off because they have to keep a trend of it. It's like, my phone's. You know when you read the Bible app on the phone, it tells you 30 days you have this thing. And so it doesn't matter. Like, you just want to keep up to that 30 days and 40 days, and you're like, okay. And you're like, hey, I'm looking good, like, you know. But what if I forgot it one day because I was so tired and I just read it from a paper Bible and I didn't use it? I felt bad. I felt guilty the first time it happened. I was like, did I really forget? I was like, no, I was sleeping and in my bed only I read the Bible. I didn't have my phone. You know, but that's how it is. We basically have programmed ourselves that we're not looking for it for life. We're not drawing our sustenance from it. You see, we want that, basically. We want the rock to be our sustenance. We want it to be living waters. We want it to be like honey to us, you know. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm remembered of Naily, I just seen her. When Naily was being touched by God, and this is what maybe a period of a month or two or whatever, there was one time she came to worship, and worship ended, Naily bailed. We're like, now what, Lord? Like, you know, what's going on with her life? Naily bailed because worship got cut short and she wanted to worship more, that she went to her car to worship with Jesus. When was the last time you'd had that? She was just saved. You see, sometimes worship becomes too long for us that we just, When was the last time you ran out of church because worship was short? And you said, no, I just can't spend time with people. I need to be more with him. If that reality of her life is where she started, but then during the course of her life, she walks away from it and she becomes very normal Christian, she basically has lost that first love. That's her first love. If my worship, in the simplicity of it, to hallelujah, is all that I know. And to the days of my life, I just stay with that. And all I know is just to love you, Jesus. And boom, the presence of God can come. I'm open to that. I'm staying with my first love. Why would you become more seasoned? And why would you become more practical? And why would you become more, oh no, I don't have to cry and all I can, you know. Like my mom laughs at me. She's like, why do you cry? Like, I was like, that's the only way I know. That's the way I approach Jesus. That's the way I basically am becoming one with him. That's all I have. Because when he found me, nobody wanted me. You don't understand that. Nobody cared that who Sabatha was. Nobody cared. And his words came. And his words touched my life. And I could see purpose. I could see destiny. He told me, I'd use you, just spend time at my feet. That's the first words he gave me. You're like a chalice to me. Do you know how dear that is to me? That every day God just kisses me, drinks of me. That's what he has for your life. Spend time with him. Listen to what he has to say for you. That anything can come. The troubles, you know, they've been through enough in that sense. Everything can come and you're like, still, I love you, Jesus. My only meaning in life is you, Jesus. While we were singing that song, I was telling the Lord, it's better for me to be a dead leaf in the spirit. A dead leaf has no agenda. His only agenda is to be taken wherever the Spirit of God is ready to take him. And Pastor Michael was preaching that day, and I was like, oh, Lord, this is my prayer. Just make me a dead leaf, but carried away by your Spirit. So, Father, we just come to you even right now, Lord. Every person in this place, that we surrender our lives to God to burn for you.
Set me as a seal upon your heart, Lord. Your heart is a burning heart, Jesus, that we may burn, that we may be molded, O God, according to your heart. That, Lord, even as we carry this word, O God, to the people, O God, that we truly carry it, O God. It won't be a kingdom made of our ideas, O God, but it will be truly of your spirit, O God. So, Lord, we just bless you. We just bless you.